Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 weeks ago, we started a new teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of the New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guidebook to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to you. Therefore, this book was written with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's Word to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus, the kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his evil assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to read Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek Gentile. Verse 17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us at the beginning of this teaching or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We were examining chapter 1 and completed with verse number 18 when I ran out of time. So please go to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 19. Again, this is a verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans, and chapter 1 is titled The Gospel Exalted. That is the key information about chapter number 1. And with regards to verses 18 and those following, there is a subtitle that reads Unbelief and Its Consequences. And we're going to examine how unbelief is detrimental to our faith in the Word of God. Verse 19 reads, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them in their inner conscience, for God made it evident to them." My comment regarding this verse says, this verse lets us know that man started by knowing God because it is evident within them in man's spirit. Further, that it was God who made it evident to our spirit. Adam was created knowing God. He started at the highest point of enlightenment. Adam walked in the cool of the day to fellowship with God. He did not have to believe by faith that God existed. Adam knew that God existed. But as a result of Adam's sin, man's relationship with God was cut off. Man rejected the truth and worshiped the lie, false gods and images in darkness. Let's go to verse number 20. Verse 20 says, "For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense." Here is what I have to say about this verse. Verse 20. Paul tells us that God's invisible attributes, eternal power and divine nature can be clearly seen through his wonderful creation. In the book of Genesis, God looked upon his creation and said it was very good. In the book of Psalm, we are told that man is fearfully and wonderfully made. God's workmanship is so precise and magnificent that man cannot honestly deny his existence. The Big Bang Theory and evolution cannot explain the complexity of God's creation. True that nature will adapt to changes in weather, need for water, air, and other elements to survive. But that animal or plant which is adapting already existed. This capability to adapt and change to survive is a direct result of God saying to nature to be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Let's go to verse 21. 21 says, "For even though they knew God as the Creator, they did not honor him as God or give thanks for his wondrous creation. On the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings and silly expectations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Again, man knew God from the beginning. God imparted his spirit or essence into Adam when God breathed into him. But man chose not to honor the living God, and their foolish heart or spirit was darkened. Let's read on to verse 22. Verse 22 says, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Man became foolish. He was not created foolish. Man was created with a mind so intelligent that he was given dominion over all the earth realm. Today, science tells us that we utilize only 10% of our brain power. And look what man has accomplished with only 10%. We were made in God's image to inhabit and create, not to destroy. Let's go on to verse number 23. Verse 23 reads, "And exchanged the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God for an image, worthless idols in the shape of mortal man, and birds and four-footed animals and reptiles." Here is my comment regarding verse number 23. Man chose to exchange the immortal God for false gods made by the hands of a man. Man is worshiping false gods and practicing religious traditions that exalt man and not the living God. That which exalts man is exactly what Satan wants. He chose to do the same when he said he would have a throne like God. What a great insult to the great I Am. Yet God still loves mankind like a natural father who loves his disobedient child without condition. Let's read on to verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin." With regards to verse 24, my comment is as follows. Because man was created with a free will, God had to give man over to their evil choice, to the degrading power of sin. Sin does not bring life. Sin strips mankind of its God-given power to live and create a glorious life in Jesus. Please, family, pay attention. These important facts will help you in your decision-making day by day. All right, let's read verse number 25. "Because by the choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Here is my comment regarding verse 25. Again, Paul tells us that man chose to exchange the truth of God for a lie. Man's wrong thinking led to worshiping the creation instead of the great Creator. This is the ultimate expression of foolishness. Man, who is created to be like God, is worshiping a creature that was made for our pleasure and dominion. Let's go to verse 26. Verse 26 says, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading and vile passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, a function contrary to nature." With regards to verse 26, the key words in the following two verses is natural and unnatural. God set the standard for what is natural because he created the world. Therefore, unnatural is a perversion of what is natural and comes against God's perfect plan for man's well-being. God has given us his word to show us right from wrong, but it is up to us to choose to do right and reap the blessings. Satan wants us to choose what is unnatural because the wages of sin is death. Satan's sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy mankind. Let's move on to verse 27. "In the same manner, also the men turned away from the natural function of the woman and were consumed with their desire toward one another, men with men, committing shameful acts and in return receiving in their own bodies the inevitable and appropriate penalty for their wrongdoing." Here's my comment regarding verse 27. We must resist what is not natural. Just because you have a thought or feeling regarding something unnatural does not give us the right to do it. We have to will to do right. Homosexuality is not only unnatural, but is one of Satan's plans to kill off mankind, because homosexuals cannot physically reproduce children. Man's sin nature has separated us from the living God. As a result, man has no protection from Satan, who brings death and destruction. In short, without God's protection, the penalty for man's wrongdoing is not only physical death, but spiritual death, and finally, eternal death in hell. Listener, there are three types of death. First, spiritual death, which is living without Jesus. Secondly, physical death, The flesh of man dies and returns to the earth from which it was made of. And then lastly, third, eternal death is the result of not accepting the gift of salvation and on judgment day giving the sentence of eternal life in hell. Let's read verse number 28. Verse 28 says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive." Here is my comment regarding verse 28. Man was not created with a depraved mind. Choosing to think on improper and repulsive thoughts is a choice. There is a spiritual war going on in your mind. God has given us his word to renew the mind and then act on his word. But if we choose to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Satan will make sure to steal, kill, and destroy you. More importantly, as a result of our recreated spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Don't accept Alzheimer's, depression, forgetfulness, and such. These things are not from God. I want to turn to one supportive scripture before we move on to verse 29. So please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. We're talking about controlling our thoughts so that we do not fall into Satan's trap. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes." Again, we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. If you are a born-again Christian, you have called on the name of Jesus and accepted him as your Savior and Lord, you have the mind of Christ. So we have the responsibility and the power and authority to control our thinking, what we're dwelling on, and what we're speaking. So family, keep this in mind. When those thoughts that are contrary to God's word come across your mind, squash them with the word of God because you have the mind of Christ. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 29. Verse 29 says, "Until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean-spiritedness, they are gossipers, spreading rumors." All right. These are strong words, family, but let me share this with regards to verse 29. Here is the worst about committing sin. It continues to grow like cancer, to totally destroy all that is good in you and your children. Without Jesus, the curse of sin is passed on to the next generation, and the sin of the next generation is greater than the last. Here's an example. While counseling for the Juvenile Correction Department in California, I met a young teenager that had been prostituting. Both parents and her grandmother were in jail. And it was the young girl's own mother that showed her and encouraged her to prostitute. Paul said that man was filled and saturated with every kind of evil. Don't pass on that sin to the next generation. Make sure that you are living in a way that will lift up and cause a blessing on the next generation to the next generation until Jesus comes for us. So be loving, be kind, think about what your life is saying to those who are watching you. Amen. All right, let's go on to verse number 30. Verse 30 says, "Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, and disrespectful to parents. Here's my comment. Those involved in this kind of evil are haters of God. They hate God because the truth or light exposes their sin and convicts them of their guilt. Everyone is created with a monitor. Our spirit lets us know what is right and wrong without even reading the Bible. But the spirit will not physically stop you from doing wrong. You have to choose to submit to do right. This is your free will in action. Family, pay attention again to that voice inside you that is giving you a warning to stop and pay close attention to your words and actions. All right, let's go on to verse 31. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity. Here's my comment. They are unloving and unmerciful. They who practice this kind of sinful lifestyle is a sociopath. They lack moral responsibility or social conscience. They are lovers of satanic acts and the sin nature. Deliverance from this kind of evil is only found in Jesus. If you or someone you know has this issue in their life, seek help. And I'm talking about professional help. And then pray, submit to the word of God, and let God deliver you from all this satanic, unloving, and unmerciful doing. All right, let's go on to verse 32. Verse 32 says, although they know God's righteous decree and his judgment that those who do such things deserve death, yet they not only do them, but they even enthusiastically approve and tolerate others who practice them. Here's my comment. They know God's decree and judgment. Wow. But still choose to do evil and approve of those who practice evil. Don't be part of that family. That will certainly cause you to leave this earth realm before your time is due. Here's an example of what we're talking about in this verse. Gang mentality. They feed off of each other. And I'm not just speaking of street gangs, but nations and people in prominent positions who practice the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They exalt themselves over the living God. This is exactly what Satan did when he revolted against God Almighty. So don't be part of that group. You see what happened to Satan, and his days are numbered. He is headed for the pit of hell for all eternity. Now let's continue with chapter number 2 of the book of Romans. In my Bible, there is a title at the above verse 1 that says, the impartiality of God. The impartiality of God. In other words, God is not a respecter of person. That's the topic for chapter number 2. Verse 1 says, therefore you have no excuse or justification, every one of you who hypocritically judges and condemns others, for in passing judgment on another person, you condemn yourself, because you who judge from a position of arrogance or self-righteousness are habitually practicing the very same things which you denounce. All right, here's my comment with regards to verse number 1. This verse is telling us that there is no excuse for those who hypocritically judges and condemns others. When we pass judgment on others, we condemn ourselves. Instead, we are to do a self-examination and correct those areas in our life that need correction. We are not to be judgmental regarding others. Now, saying all of this, we are to consider the action of others and make a value judgment as to whether their actions line up with God's word. And if
not, we should not participate in their activities and or fellowship with those who practice evil. The key word is practice. Every Christian can make a mistake, can fall into sin, but a Christian who is practicing sin, that is evil. The scriptures tell us to stay away from those that practice evil because their bad habits will corrupt the good ones in us.
I would like to read a supporting scripture for this statement. So please turn to Psalm chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 6 with regards to staying away from evil. Verse 1 says, "Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest at the seat of scoffers, ridiculers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by the streams of water." Oh, family, I'm so sorry. I am out of time, but please return next week as we continue our study on the book of Romans. Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.